I hereby call the meeting to order.
Good. I think it'd be good if everyone could just go around and say their name and also what you read. There was a required reading packet that was like 10 pages, and then there were like a lot of attachments. There were a lot of pages. So just give a quick sense of what you read and say your name. Don't have to say anything else, and that's for voice identification and just so we know where we stand. So I'm Holden, and I read and wrote everything.
I'm John.
Universe.
Yeah.
I'm John. I read everything except the very detailed procedures manual.
Okay.
I'm Greg. I read the minimum required reading.
Good. I'm Melissa. I read everything except for all the procedures.
Sorry to interrupt. Someone on the phone is breathing really heavily into the phone. So if you could stop, thanks.
I'm Natalie, and I read most everything.
I'm Ellie. I read everything.
I'm Tom. My mouth is full. One second. I read the required reading. I read the agenda. I read the progress and priorities. I read the grant summary. And I read the excess reserves addendum that Holden and Ellie sent today.
Ari, Tom, Lindy.
Lindy on the phone.
Hi, Ari. I read it all except for the stuff you sent today.
Okay.
Lindy read everything except for what was sent today and attachment D, which is the policies manual. I only glanced through that.
Tim?
This is Tim Ogden, and Lindy's description is pretty accurate as mine. Read everything except the policies. I did read the updates that went out today.
Right. Just to clarify what some of the stuff people said, the thing I sent out today was very optional. It was basically filling in numbers that we had left blank earlier. The detailed policies, there was a lot of those that we had the treasurer read, and then we're going to have some other people look over, but that was not required, and then everything that, really had to be read to sign off on was in the required reading packet. So it sounds like we're all caught up.
Great.
Okay. So the first thing, elections, Bob Elliott emailed in his resignation to me yesterday as president. He, just citing time considerations, just doesn't have time to serve as board president anymore. And we're proposing a bunch of changes. One of them is the addition of a new director. That's John Behar. So let me just go through all these, and then we can get to the relevant information. But to elect John, and just generally to, like, we're supposed to have an annual election by written ballot. So if the people on the phone could email in the people, the directors you want to vote for, and if the people present could actually fill out the written ballot I sent out. And just to be clear, what my recommendation is, I guess, is that, don't vote for Bob Elliott. Do vote for Tom, Lindy, Ari, me, Tim, John, and Greg. So hopefully that's clear enough to everyone. That's my recommendation only.
Well, then, when we email you, can we just say we approve the suggested elections of officers as in the agenda?
Sure. Please do specify it's Holden suggested elections.
Okay.
Because I'm,
And can that be done after the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's that. And then there's just position elections. This is kind of shuffling around some of the official positions, mostly for logistical reasons. So Tom was the acting vice president. We wanted to make him the actual president. Want to make Lindy the vice president. And then Greg, I think, we're expanding the responsibilities of the treasurer, and I don't think Greg is going to be able to handle them. So I think we should switch it over to Ari for treasurer.
We'll arm wrestle.
Okay. So the election for directors will have to be written, but, I would like to get verbal on the rest of them. Just some yeses or nos. I vote yes to the set of things that's proposed in that agenda.
I vote yes.
I vote yes on the phone.
Ari votes yes.
Tim Ogden votes yes.
Tom votes yes.
So John, I'm just confused, John's not voting until next meeting?
Yeah, John doesn't have a vote until he's officially elected. So there's technically six directors now. But this would be a good time. I mean, he's not officially elected. This would be a good time if anyone has questions about John. Maybe, John, you can give a little intro of yourself, involvement in the project background, and then Lindy and Tom both spoke to him.
Sure. So I have been working in the finance industry for the past 8 years. I used to work with Holden and Ellie, so I feel like I know them both fairly well. Got interested in GiveWell when I sort of experienced the firsthand frustration as a donor of wanting to donate money to something that I could feel confident would lead to, you know, a better world, and particularly as I started reading some of the initial GiveWell research, grew increasingly frustrated with the inability to do that in a confident way. So my involvement with GiveWell the last few years has been primarily financial as a donor. I've had a lot of conversations, or several conversations with Holden and Ellie over that time, talking about different charities, talking about the direction of the project, and it's something that I'm really interested in, and you know, I feel like there's an incredible need for it, so I'm excited to be involved in that vote. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
What's that? Lindy and Tom also spoke to him separately, so if you want to ask them for their impressions, maybe offline you can do that. Just a general comment on this meeting. We have a lot of administrative stuff to do. We kind of just finished our report and went back and took care of a lot of things we've been meaning to take care of, so there's a lot of stuff to go through, as you've seen from the agenda. And we're going to try and make it so that if people have objections to what we're doing, you know, try and take things offline. Basic idea being to, you know, say what you think, air what you're thinking about, hear what other people, you know, first impression is, but not get into a long conversation, you know, not get into long arguments here in the meeting, and try to take things offline when necessary.
Very good plan.
Okay. Thanks. So this next one is another one of these highly administrative things, and this is just the case of, you know, me catching something in the bylaws that I probably don't look at as often as I should. They say we meet quarterly. I would rather they say we meet three times a year, and I also cut some of the language about when we meet, just to reflect the reality that we schedule our own meetings at our own discretion. Three is the number recommended by the Better Business Bureau's standards for accountability, and I explained the reasoning in that attachment, so if anyone had any questions, you could ask, but it wasn't a required reading, so I don't think I have to repeat it. And so that's, you know, basically proposing a specific amendment. The text was in one of the attachments we sent, the full text, and the idea of the amendment was in the required reading.
Yeah.
So unless anyone has any questions about that, does anyone have any questions about that? Otherwise, start the vote. All right. I'm going to vote yes on that proposed amendment.
Greg votes yes.
Tom votes yes.
Lindy votes yes.
Ari votes yes.
Tim votes yes.
All right, moving right along. All right, so now things get a little bit hairier. So this next topic is something we've talked about at several board meetings in the past, which is this idea that Ellie and I need more professional development than we've been getting. I sent out an attachment detailing what we've done in this area. You know, to give a brief overview, we've been gradually as a board and as a staff moving toward the conclusion that a lot of the more formal options just aren't a good fit for GiveWell, but that the informal stuff, getting people to kind of interact with us more often who have more experience, that's a more promising approach. So I think, you know, honestly, I think the most important change we've made is that Ellie and I talk to Lindy a lot now, you know, just about weekly on average, and pretty much give her an update on our priorities, on our progress, and that's in addition to the biweekly reports. I also think that the board in general, we've been losing the people who are less engaged and adding people who are more engaged. So the number of emails going back and forth between board members, the amount of questions we're getting, the amount of supervision in general is going up. So those are actually the most important changes that go through the board and not through any particular professional development program. But we also have, you know, we've had relationships of differing depth with the three people that I laid out in that document, Rob Chevelle, Phil Steinmeier, and Adam Gooch, and so those are people that we update a lot on our priorities. We discuss what our priorities should be, and we do ask them more specific questions as well, just about you know, here's something we're dealing with as a business that we want your thoughts on. So, you know, that was cited as a primary reason for me not holding the executive director title, was that progress on that had been unsatisfactory. We're now proposing to give back that title, actually to make me and Ellie co-executive directors. And again, that's about making the titles and the formalities reflect the reality of how we do things. You know, we want to be putting it on the record and accurate about who's kind of making day-to-day decisions and feel that that's the reality and that our formalities should reflect it. So those are my thoughts. If people have concerns, you should air them. If we're ready to vote on this now, we can. And if not, if we want to hold off on that and people have objections, that's okay too. But thought I would raise the possibility now.
I'm sorry, to vote on?
Well, the proposal is to give the title of co-executive director.
Oh,
to
right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And if we don't do that, we'll have to modify some of these other things that we've done, which refer to that title. But that's no big deal. So if people don't want to do that
just
now.
I just want to put in my voice because, like they said, I have been talking to them on a regular basis, and I just think it doesn't make sense not to institute this title. Having worked in the sector and knowing what they've been applying for and how people sort of look at the organization, I think it's crucial to have someone or some people with some kind of director title, and I think it's time to institute that.
So, Wendy, what's the nature of the conversations you have with them weekly, and where would you say they are in terms of, you know, the questions were along the lines of, you know, like how far have they developed from sort of maturity and ability to handle that, and so what are the conversations like?
Well, I mean, so basically we speak roughly every week, and we talk for anywhere between half an hour and an hour, I would say, usually. And a lot of the conversations are very tactical, so there are, you know, pressing questions in areas that perhaps Holden and Ellie just need a bit of bounce back, kind of someone else outside giving some perspective to them around how they're doing something. Does this sound right? Some guidance in terms of areas that they don't have a lot of experience, such as hiring, managing different kinds of relationships, whether they be internal or external. You know, applications for certain kinds of grants, how to deal with issues that come up that aren't so regular. And I would say that they, you know, we talk about it a lot, and it's part of the conflict of being in a startup, that they're very tactically oriented by nature of starting up the organization, or let's say perpetuating the startup nature of the organization, and trying now to move to a more strategic phase. And I think as GiveWell as an organization, and Holden and Ellie as the co-executive directors of the organization, move GiveWell into that strategic phase of who are we, what are we doing, and we all know that this issue has come up both with respect to the name of the organization and the website and how information is accessed. I think as that happens, Holden and Ellie's professional development will be become even, you know, more tested as they move to this next phase. For now, I think that they're doing a good job in trying to round themselves out at managing things on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, the things that I would be looking for in the medium future would be to see how they engage with that more strategic question as managers in the next, say, 6 to 12 months. So I think that side, that highly strategic side, they know what's coming, but they don't yet have the experience or perspective for me to judge their professional development in that respect. But I think that they're becoming much more comfortable and fluid in managing the day-to-day so that they can not only master that, but devolve that to other people so that they can get on to the more strategic side of things.
Okay. And so why are you doing it as a co?
That sounds like more of a question for us for making the proposal.
Yeah, I'm asking you guys now.
Yeah. It's just to reflect the reality of how we make decisions. We've talked about this before. The problem with a co is that, you know, you kind of have to, if you have a disagreement, in theory, the person who's executive director would resolve it. But we just went back and, you know, over 2 years, we've never had a situation where Ellie and I had a disagreement, and the way we resolved it is that I just overruled him. So we always, you know, we always deal with that another way. We'll try to, you know, generally what we do is we just ask, we'll ask someone else. So we'll ask Lindy, then we'll ask, you know, Rob or Phil, or we would bring someone to the board if it was like really hotly contested. But that's just, that's the reality of how we make decisions. So that's the main reason we want to do it that way. You know, I was also going through the policies and thinking about checks and balances and separation of powers and things like that. And I take care of all the, I take care of a lot of the sort of grunt work of accounting and, you know, processing things and just looking at kind of the boilerplate, suggestions from accountants. You know, you want kind of a separate, like, you want to have two separate people who have ability to approve things as an executive and ability to file them as, like, an accountant or executor. And so what we've done is we've set up those policies so that it's, you know, that Ellie has to sign off on things that I do. And that's kind of an executive role, if, you know, for example, written into the boilerplate as executive director. So those are, you know, it's not, again, we don't feel that strong about any of this stuff. It's titles, but that's how we feel, is that that reflects the reality and it makes sense.
Does it make sense, to, just as a question, to do executive director, comma, planning, blah, 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 blah? I don't even know what that more accurately defines the different roles that each of you have, or is it easier for you just to have the title and define those roles informally?
The truth is I don't really think we have different roles. I think from time to time we'll say, oh, he's working on this and Holden's working on that. But I wouldn't feel that any sort of long-lasting, you know, Holden is director of this and Ellie's director of that would capture the reality. So we could if it would make people more comfortable. But I think the best description of how day-to-day executive decisions are made at GiveWell is that Ellie and I will agree on something. And if we disagree,
right,
we'll find an agreement that doesn't make getting to the disagreement yet necessary, or we'll go to someone else.
So I actually think that, just to put my two cents in and then I'll be quiet, that this makes sense, again, in the short to medium term, but that for the benefit of the organization in terms of dividing up roles, enabling those roles to be a little bit more institutionalized and handed on, it will make sense in the longer term to have more defined titles that will describe what each of you does, because I do think in the medium to long term, you guys should be doing slightly different things, de facto.
I think we do slightly different things. I don't think we're ready to put that down as our title.
Okay, yeah. But all I'm saying is, as that happens, my advice to this board is, you know, approve this, but we need to keep it on the boilerplate in terms of thinking strategically about the organization, where is it going, and how are we going to make sure that that's instituted, both by virtue of what these guys do and how we can devolve that should one of them ever leave, or should their role need to be handed on to someone else, and that, you know, articulating that nominally helps us to think about it a little bit more clearly. So in the short term, I think this is fine, but it's something that we need to consider still in the longer term.
Okay.
I'm ready to vote.
Okay. What's your vote?
In favor.
Yes. Okay. I'm in favor.
Tom votes yes.
Valerie votes yes.
Is that it?
I was waiting for Lindy since I've been going last.
Oh, sorry. I vote yes.
Tim votes yes with a note that I think it would also be a good idea in the short term to write down the adjudication policy or escalation policy just for transparency reasons. So when people ask how decisions get made, we've got something written down that says if a decision, if the co-executive directors can't reach a decision, then they take it to the board of directors or to the executive, the president of the board of directors, you know, just specify something.
That's a very good idea.
I agree. Okay. So, unless anyone has objections, I'd like to move on. The update on the corporation name, I'm not really sure that there's anything particular to talk about here. This along with the priorities document, are things where we're kind of in the middle of something and we're trying to give the board an update, but we don't have things concrete enough to say yet, you know, here's a proposal we want you to vote on. So I want to make sure people are in the loop, that you air any concerns about the name and trademark situation that you have, but I think we're going to know more in a week or two than we know now, and so, you know, we're not asking for anything in particular. I want to know if people want to air anything. So the basic content of these policies, just for me to give a quick verbal overview, there's six chapters pertaining to fiscal policies and procedures. We made sure Ari, the new treasurer, the incoming treasurer, read those, and he got some expanded responsibilities as far as oversight, and we're formalizing just the way we keep track of money and checks and invoices. And then the other stuff, I think almost all of it, will definitely chapters 7 and 8 were what I asked everyone to read. So those are more general ethics things, and also whistleblower policy, which the...
And this was what was included in the required reading, correct?
Yeah, this part was. The governance,
yeah.
The code of ethics,
yeah.
Conflict of interest policy, which is already in our bylaws, so I didn't do anything
yeah.
with that. People signed that recently.
Yeah.
And John will have to sign one now that he's on. But the whistleblower policy's in there. And then I also just, I asked everyone to read the employment policies as well. Equal employment opportunities, sexual harassment, and then the final two chapters were just us formalizing some things that we either already do or should already do. So that would be the communications policy, which is, you know, how Ellie and I communicate, which, as people know, we've definitely wanted oversight and supervision. And then...
communicate with the outside world, not with each other.
Right. There's no policy for me communicating with Ellie. And then the missing piece is this reserve assets policy, which we'll get to.
And just the goal of a lot of that last set of policies is to try to mitigate major risks to GiveWell, whether they're, communications risks where we say something stupid and cause GiveWell a lot of problems, or, you know, making sure
data
we have
risk.
Procedure
and
for backing up the website, because if we lost all the data on the website, we'd obviously lose a lot of what GiveWell is and has.
And just to give a quick, the agenda says what we want people to vote on, which includes giving all these various titles to people. So we've already voted on co-executive directors. Manager of finance, conceptually, is the person who kind of, you know, tracks and writes the checks and pays the invoices, you know, mechanically. Employment officer is kind of the person who deals with the employment contract, and that's something that we haven't finalized yet. The technology officer is just something I put in the data backup policy, so Ellie's going to be responsible for data backup. Compliance officer is the person who handles, you know, any of those employment practices complaints, and that's Lindy's nominated. And then Tim has been filling the role of the guy who approves our communications. He's the communications officer. So that whole blanket package, the policies and procedures that I sent, those titles, that's what I would like to vote on.
And I just want to make a comment. There were a couple of things that some of you may have. I had, like, little notes of some nitpicking in terms of the wording that I didn't think made sense or whatever. And I told these guys I would just email it to them. If we vote on this, can we still email you those suggested changes if they're purely verbal and don't change the content?
Yeah, I mean, I would say anything that's not going to change the content, we can, you know... We can rewrite the policies and reapprove them at the next meeting, but, you know, put them in force now as far as the content goes.
Okay, so what I was going to suggest is that we don't get into any nitty-gritty on the phone, but anyone
yep.
who has any recommendations on verbal changes or words or whatever, just email them.
Yep.
Lindy, I'd be interested in the ones that you noted, because I had noted several as well. And
so should I copy you on my email to these guys?
Sure. Just quickly, I had an issue with... on the code of ethics number 3 and number 9.
Okay, let me pull that up.
I agree with Lindy that we don't need to get into the specifics, but just so that we're for the record.
That should be in the required reading for people who are looking for
it. Was it the words or the content?
Number 3, I think, is one that's incredibly easy to misinterpret
mm-hmm.
to our detriment, as some of the people who like to bash GiveWell look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 makes absolutely no sense to me, given what GiveWell is.
Mm-hmm.
The good of the children? Seriously?
I support the good of the children. Did I ever give anyone an impression otherwise?
Here's the thing. I do want to make one comment that goes in line with what Tim is saying. I think, I don't want to accuse you guys of anything, but I think there were some places that you might have sort of cut and paste from other sources,
mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm going to point some of those out in my email, but what I would do now that you've done this is sort of read through this and say, like Tim suggested, does this actually make sense, and did I take this from somewhere else, and
right.
have I adapted it as much as possible to GiveWell?
I mean, just to be clear on what we did, I absolutely took this from other sources. I went looking for boilerplate, I asked people for suggestions, I didn't want to write this myself from scratch, I think for obvious
right.
reasons. Our auditor did not want to, like, write it or even really advise on it for us, because he's an auditor. So you know, I did do a lot of this from boilerplate. I also, you know, read it over multiple times and made any changes that were important to me. I also tried to err on the side of leaving stuff in. So, for example, this thing about the children, I mean, would I have written that myself? Probably not, but I'm okay with putting it on the record that we support the good of the children. Sure. I mean, I do.
No, I think that Tim is right. I think it's very extraneous.
Yeah, it's silly. I think also, like, I think we want it to be minimal, like, the minimal necessary and not have things that will really have nothing to do with the code of ethics.
And the objective thing, I mean, to me, that's like, that is more in terms of like a strategic plan. Here are our objectives, whatever. It's not really a code of ethics necessarily. And number three needs to be a little bit contextualized, like Tim was saying.
So do people want to approve the policies X, 3, and 9 or, you know, say that we got to do some work?
So I'm missing, I mean, I basically think the essence of... Three makes sense. The essence of three makes sense to me. The essence of nine was confusing to me in terms of what it really has to do. So, but what is the issue with the essence of three?
There is an issue with the essence of three. I think it's just very easy to misinterpret. So someone who wanted to make it sound like we were saying we're going to redirect people's funds to wherever we want them, it's very easy to misinterpret the way that's written. So the essence, I think, is absolutely right. I just think it's written poorly to express.
It just needs to be contextualized a little bit more.
Let's see that.
So I would say
I would be in favor of contextualizing three and personally getting rid of nine.
Yeah.
I don't really I'm not going to fight on this, but I don't personally understand. Like, I read nine as, like, our objective is to make the world a better place, like, and just kind of a...
It's a broad objective that...
Yeah, but
like
when you say the good of the children, like, what children are you talking about?
I think it's... I
think you sound like Michael Jackson.
That's a compliment.
Whitney Houston are the future.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, it's certainly, I mean, in a sense, redundant with number one, which is our mission statement. So I have no problem cutting it. Just wanted to understand that better. But I don't have a problem with sounding like Michael Jackson, just for the record.
The other thing is just in the code of ethics. I mean, I don't know if you already did this, but going from the like more specific to the more general, or at least grouping them in such a way, like reorganizing them, so that you know you have some that are about you know how your behaviors are and how your you know who you comply with and you know what I mean. Like grouping them a little more logically might make sense, but I don't care how you do that. I would approve. Now, however you want to do that, if you see a need to change it around.
So let me table a suggestion that we approve all of these changes, X, the code of ethics, which we will approve as a draft, and I and Holden and Ellie can create a final version for adoption at the next board meeting.
All right. And if you,
I second that.
Okay, me too. Although I'd get rid of 7, too. I'd just throw that out there if we... okay.
It's one question, I'm sorry. In 8.1, it says our company is committed to the principles. Is the ClearFund a company or an organization?
We're a corporation.
Okay.
I think that's a...
It's a technical question I didn't know the answer to.
Okay, so I like that suggestion from Tim. Approve everything except Chapter 7, the Code of Ethics. That's being approved only as a draft, and we'll present another one at the next board meeting. I'm pretty sure that's okay as far as what we need to finish our audit.
And then any kind of small changes are fine.
You know what? Actually, I want to amend that. I want to make sure that we approve 7.4, the whistleblower policy, now. And that doesn't have any of the things that people are objecting to.
Yeah, the only thing I objected to was your use of pronouns.
Okay.
I thought we just approved everything.
Because the compliance officer says his discretion, and I am a her.
Okay, well then we should fix it.
Well, no, it's 7.2.
I mean, just so people know, I did go through this for pronouns, but I didn't catch everything. So
I think we approved everything but 7.2. Is that not right?
Oh, but 7.2.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant, Holden.
Okay.
We approved everything X 7.2.
Okay, so we've got to vote on that.
You approve everything X 7.2, acknowledging that there may be some non-content related changes.
Yes. Okay, I vote yes to that.
Yes. I mean, I mean, it sounds like they're content related changes that we're talking about in 7.2. But
right, so we're not voting on 7.2. We're looking
okay,
everything
yeah. Fine.
Except for
yeah.
7.8.
Fine, got it. Yes, Tom votes yes.
We've got Holden, Ari, Greg, and Tom.
Lindy votes yes.
What's going on?
I think everybody voted yes, right?
Oh, Tim, yeah. Tim was the one who proposed
yes,
it. So.
Tim voted yes.
All right.
Move the motion.
Right along.
Right. This is great. We actually may finish before your projected time.
Don't jinx it.
Sorry. I don't believe in jinxes.
I mean, now we get to the progress and priorities. This could be as open-ended as anyone wants.
Well, hang on one second. Let me be a monkey wrench here briefly on this on the policies manual. If anybody's aware of any potential problems with having a poorly written policy manual or code of ethics or anything like that that have tripped up organizations in the past, it'd be helpful to know that. I mean, I wonder how.
I think the code of ethics. I do know the code of ethics. From my own experience, is a big problem because you have to report every violation, and so, like, you want it to be what you mean it to be, and not to be more general or bigger, because you do create a reporting requirement of any break of the code of ethics. And so, if you put something in your code of ethics that's extraneous, you're required to report breaks of it.
Who do you report to? The corporation's office?
I mean, I would assume that you have to keep a record of it, and if there's ever an audit, you have to release every known example of a break of the code of ethics. That's
well,
how it is for companies.
No, I mean, recognizing that, can't we review it as we said we will, with that in mind?
But more broadly, Holden, did you ever look, like, what are the consequences for violating our policies? Because that's not something I know the answer to.
I don't really know the answer to that.
We should find that out. Like, maybe it makes sense to find that out before adopting more policies.
The only thing I heard it sounded like somebody said, what if a journalist picks up on a particular line in the code of ethics and if we get embroiled in some controversy? And that seems kind of far-fetched and trivial to me.
Right. Well, I don't know. Do people think it's wise to approve the rest? I mean, especially given that, you know, that a lot of people haven't read, like, the fiscal stuff. Do people think we need more outside opinions on this thing before we adopt it?
Were there major areas where you deviated from boilerplate?
Yeah. There were. I mean, I discussed them all with an accountant this morning to get some informal opinions on them. And, you know, he said they all sounded fine, but it was an informal discussion. I mean, I had to because they were written for an organization with more staff than we have.
I don't know, Holden. My sense is that if you've reviewed them informally with an accountant, if the treasurer has looked over, if relevant people have looked over relevant parts and we trust those people with their roles, then I don't see any problem in approving this and reviewing the code of ethics as we stated.
I mean, I don't really, to be honest, I'm kind of leaning the other way. Like, Greg just happened to know this thing about the code of ethics. I kind of rushed this together because I wanted to get the audit in by August 15th, but if we have to extend it to get these things right, then we do. And it seems like the risk is higher of approving policies that, you know, Greg happened to know one big pitfall that could have really hurt us. Maybe there's others that I'm not thinking of.
This is Ari. I'd agree with Holden. I mean, I've read through all the policies and procedures manual as the incoming treasurer, but to be honest, I don't have much of a frame of reference to say. I mean, it looked all reasonable to me, but I really don't know if there was an outlier in any of these things. I wouldn't be able to call it out. If there's someone else that externally who can go through it, who wouldn't cost us money.
So how would we do that? I mean, I guess the question is, if we're not approving it now, and you guys need time to review this, what is the process for that?
Well, we'd have to get an extension on our...
Why can't we just get it? I mean, if it was read in the next 2 weeks, why couldn't we just have it approved over email, like a vote by email with the board?
We could if it was read in the next two weeks. But my concern is, like, how are we going to get, you know, we've got to get people who know what they're doing to look over this, and we don't know if we'll be able to do that for free, and figuring that out would take some time.
But and what is the main purpose here? Like, so to me, the basic rule, from what I know, dealing with employee handbooks and code of ethics are a special level.
Okay.
But I don't want you to go on my recommendation,
right,
on my point on that.
Yeah.
And but I do know you have to track the code of ethics regulations for certainly Bridgewater needs to, for whatever reasons. And so I would say it's important with the code of ethics at a minimum to get that done in your time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that come up with other types of policies. I also would offer up, although I don't know if it's going to be that helpful in this case, but I have a personal lawyer now who just does work for me and has time.
So that'd be great.
But she's not like an expert. She's just a general lawyer. So if you ever need legal help, though, she's certainly available to you.
She might be able to make a referral, too. So
I'll give you her contact info.
But
she can also look common sense things over, but she's not going to be an expert on any of these things.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like there are a few different disciplines involved in this. I mean, there's there's human resources stuff, there's general corporation stuff, there's, you know.
Right. So I would go with the minimum that you can do in terms of rules rather than trying to make it broad and having lots of stuff in there.
Okay. Well, I mean, the way I lean right now, if we wanted to do the minimum to get the 990, and I think that would be the whistleblower and document retention. I mean, we're not legally required to have any of this, but it's more, you know, wanting to have those when we file our thing, because that's going to stay on the record for a year. You know, if we want to do the minimum, but I mean, I would even just suggest that we all as a board recognize that we're going to be filing for an extension on our 990 and just get it all looked at and not sign off on anything that we haven't had a, you know, real pro look over, unless the costs turn out to be prohibitive, and then we'll have to rethink it again.
What does it mean to get an extension? That's for me, because we're already filing.
Later. I know, we can get one more. I think it goes until November 15th.
So are we now reneging the vote we just made? Is that the sense that I'm getting?
Yeah, that's what I'm proposing. I don't know if we did vote. Okay, so we have to re-vote.
I'm withholding. I vote yes on the reneg.
I vote yes on the reneg, and I really want to, when it's reviewed, my note would be, let's really ask whoever reviews this, what are the consequences of doing this wrong?
Yep. Okay. That's three. These are good board meeting minutes. I'm enjoying those.
How many votes do you need to pass? Does it have to be unanimous?
We just need a majority, but I like getting everyone on the record.
Ari agrees with the reneg.
Okay. Lindy, Tim?
Tim?
My treasure position of last. I'm not that worried that we'll agree with the consensus of the board to hold off the approval until we get back to it.
Tim and I are on the same page. I don't really see the point in holding off, but if you guys do, that's fine.
So the next thing on the agenda is the progress and priorities. So this has, you know, unlimited potential to drag on. I just want to be clear what we're doing and what we're not here. The truth is that we don't have a formal proposal right now, and we haven't done enough work yet to really figure out what the priorities are and what the estimated time allocations are. I think we've done a much better job, like, recently, you know, really doing that kind of thing right, estimating how much time things are going to take, and we did, like, I was pretty happy with how we, you know, our report, with what we produced by the date we said we would. So it's something we will do. It's something we haven't done at this point, because we did just finish the report, and we had a lot of loose ends to clean up after that, including a lot of the stuff we prepared for this meeting, plus the new hires coming on. So what this is a very general outline, and it's basically laying these things out and saying, these are all important things. If something's not on this list, it's, you know, unless it's small, it's probably not getting done in the short term, and so you should raise it. And if something's on this list, it means it's something we really would like to get done. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that we put these in a certain priority or assign them a certain amount of time yet. So if you guys want me to go through them verbally, I can, but they're in the required reading. It's four bullet points, one of which has four sub-bullet points. And I just want to see if people had any questions. We don't have a formal proposal.
This is Lindy. I do.
Okay.
I think there's a huge missing piece here just from my interactions with you guys and my own perspective. I think that there's a missing piece of an overall strategic plan, like where is GiveWell going, who is GiveWell right now, and some of those things are going to be touched by things like the packaging and presentation of research, but I think that the packaging and presentation of research should be reflecting who and where GiveWell is going. So
can I just cut in for a second? I mean, I was, when I hear what you're saying, I think of bullet point three, annual self-evaluation and formal plan for next year. Is there something that in your, you know, and this would be along the lines of what we did last year, where we said, this is how things went, this is GiveWell's mission as we see it as of today. This is how things went last year. This is what we planned for this year, and this is why. Is there something that's not included in that that you're
thinking? Yes. I think that what you're talking about is sort of a short-term strategic plan or objectives, and am I meeting those objectives? What I'm talking about is a longer-term strategic, like we've talked about in our discussions, a medium to long-term plan of where the organization is going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is reflected, you know, I see these discussions on email about, you know, what should, if we have to change our name, what is our name going to be? Well, it should reflect what we're doing, and our website needs to be changed, and that should reflect who we are, and what is GiveWell going to be? And, you know, I know that a lot of the mentors talk to you about this, but I think until you answer that more fundamental question, and yes, you know what your mission is, and you know what you're doing on a year-by-year basis, but until that medium-term, you know, perspective is written down and accepted by the organization, by the board, whomever, I think all of these things, you're just chugging along as opposed to seeing where you're going. And it's a problem that I've had with GiveWell for, you know, as long as I've been involved with it.
Yeah.
I don't mean to throw a wrench in this at all, but I think that this is a very key issue.
Lindy, what, I guess the thing, just what, like, how would you put it, like, the question that you're trying to answer about GiveWell that you don't have the answer to?
I don't understand your question.
I guess I'm trying to understand what, I don't really understand what you want us to create.
You remember we were sitting in New York and we were having that discussion around we want to be a foundation of X size and, you know, here's how we're going to get there and this is what I want to see and GiveWell shouldn't exist in 5 years if we haven't achieved X.
Yeah, so I think the thing I think we have, which I don't, you know, we put together this, like, document last fall, which, like, it's on the website. I don't think all the details in it are, like, very, like, all the details aren't right, but I think broadly it's answering the thing that you're talking about, not in terms of, like, metrics for when GiveWell should fail, but what I don't know, it sounds like what you're saying is that what we plan to do over a period of a few years.
Well, it's that, but how do you do a self-evaluation if you don't have metrics in place? We've talked about this, you remember, Ellie, in terms of what you want to be when you grow up, not you personally, but the organization, and how do you measure if you're getting there or you're on track? How do you even do an annual assessment if you don't have those metrics in place?
Well, I do remember this conversation. I mean,
And I actually think this is core. It's to me, it's like the background to all of these other things. You know, until you have that, and I'm not talking about a 15-page strategic document. I'm talking about a one-pager that everyone can agree, here's where GiveWell is, here's how we assess if we're doing what we need to do, here are the metrics, and here's, you know, then you get into your number three, here's how we're assessing this year if we're doing the right thing, and here's what we want to do this year. I just think that there's a backdrop to all of this that hasn't been clearly articulated, at least to me or in my own mind.
Okay. I mean, my instinct is to respond that I would agree to try and draft something like this. I think I'm not going to say that I fully understand what Lindy has in mind, and it's probably going to take some back and forth with Lindy. But I'll agree to draft it. I would put it, though, I would make sure we categorize it with the self-review in terms of priority, in terms of, like, when it's going to get done, and in terms of things like December is really important. If we find ourselves up against December and we have to put something like this off, just as we'd have to put a self-review off, then we would. So I would basically say, yes, we'll try to do that. We'll work on it with Lindy and we'll file it. In terms of priorities, we'll file it with the self-review, wherever that ends up falling. That'd be my proposal, unless other people want to chime in and, A, try to clarify, B, you want to weigh in that you do or don't.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing, is that I don't think this is something you file. I think this is something that, like, the board agrees on, that we discuss, that we all say, you know, I don't know if everyone agrees.
That's not what I meant by file. I didn't mean what we were going to do with the report. I meant what I was going to do with this idea of a thing we should do, this, like, proposal. I'm going to put proposal in the same place as the self-review, in the sense that, you know, it's something that it's going to be on our list of things that are very important, but it also, you know, it's not like something that I'm not committing now to put it.
I just don't know how you can revise your packaging of GiveWell, like your, you know, what the world sees you as a website or as a name or whatever, if we don't have that all in place.
I disagree with you on that for sure, but I'm willing to try and draft this, and maybe the difference is that maybe the difference is we have things in our head that we need to put down better, or maybe there's something else.
So that's part of it. And, you know, I think, what happens if tomorrow Holden and Ellie decide to, like, skip town? And how do we know what was in their head in terms of where they wanted to take GISBO, or, you know, just it's part of the institutionalization, again, of the organization and thinking about where it's going. What are the metrics? You may know if I contacted 15 people this month, I feel good, but that doesn't mean that we know we're on target.
Right, but I don't, but I agree with that in terms of the institutionalization, but I don't, you know, I don't feel that there's some inherent contradiction of pushing forward before we've done this. I think we've made good progress in the past without it.
No, it has to be concurrent, but I think it has to be a priority to be done by the end of the year.
Right. So I'm agreeing to make it a priority. I'm not agreeing to a deadline at this point. I think that's where I would put it. I would agree to put it on this list of very important things, and we'll be coming to the next meeting with a more formal proposal. And that would be my proposal if the board supports Lindy on this. If people disagree about the importance, then I want to hear that too.
Well, I mean, as Holden and Ellie know, because I rode up on the train with them and talked about a lot of these issues, I really agree with Lindy on a lot of these points. I mean, I think it's a really hard question, given all the different elements of the activities of GiveWell, to boil it down to, you know, mission statement, goals, strategy, tactics. But it's also, once it's done, it really clarifies a lot of the other elements of the operations, both on the research standpoint, from the, you know, web and marketing tactics standpoint. I think they're all, you know, metrics, as Lindy pointed out. I think that falls out of the same kind of construction. And I think it is a board-level discussion with Ellie and Holden. I promised them on the train up that I wouldn't throw out on the table an open-ended question to burn hours and hours at the board meeting, and I will live by that. But I'd like to suggest that in addition to Holden and Ellie taking a shot at drafting this, maybe we schedule a non-board meeting conference call, possibly, to talk about these kinds of issues, you know, kind of informally, and try and define you know, what really is GiveWell.
Tom, I would be very supportive of that. And again, I don't want to burn hours either. I just don't want, you know, Holden and Ellie, Melissa and Natalie, all of you, to go down a path of doing a lot of the things that are on here. For example, you know, the website and the packaging and presentation of things, or a self-evaluation. I don't want you to go down a road and then have to backtrack or revise these things afterwards if we then do some sort of strategic plan, and, you know, it just doubles your work. This will provide a context and a frame for you to operate within, and I think that's important. So I'm happy to do that on a different call. You know, I'm happy to do that with you guys as part of this. I think your priorities are right, but I think this is a blatantly missing one.
Do other people concur?
I do. Like, I don't, for instance, I don't see how you can really do the website redesign, which is crucial, unless it's very clear what you're trying to communicate to the rest of the world. My concern would be that Holden and Ellie, it doesn't sound like they really have a firm sense of what this means in practice. Yeah, you guys, I'm a little bit concerned that you'd be spinning your wheels a bit in the process of drafting this. So I would just want to say that you should, you know, reach out if you do find yourself spinning your wheels and you know, you've got plenty
of
other stuff to do.
Yeah, I just think I think Holden and Ellie actually should take a shot at drafting it. I mean, I think there's some context here that we can all potentially contribute on, but having talked about this on the 523 train up from Grand Central, I mean, there are a lot of principles and experience that these guys draw on in their daily activity. I think it would be helpful for them to air some of them with us in the context of a general, you know, strategy and tactics discussion.
And I know I've offered this to you guys before, but I'm a strategic planning consultant, so I'm happy to provide some sort of, you know, template or outline for us to do this, to go through it once over, and then to go on a call together, if that will provide you with a kind of structure in which you can think of these things.
Well, that would help.
Because, I mean, I do that for a living, so I'm happy to do that with you.
Anyone else? I mean, I'm happy to agree to that. I want to make a point about practical implementation that I'm not, you know, I believe that doing this kind of thing could and would have value, but I don't want to confuse that with the idea that I'm hearing a lot of, I don't see how you can move forward without doing this, or, you know, you can't do a website redesign if you don't have a, you know, this sort of vision. And I just want to say practically, I don't think that's true. I think practically we can make a lot of progress with an informal working understanding, maybe not as clear as it should be, maybe not as shared by the board as it should be. And furthermore, to add another practical point, I think once we write this thing down, it's not going to be static, and it's not going to by itself save us from the possibility of doing a lot of work and deciding we went down the wrong path. I think that's something that's going to happen many times, regardless of what we write down. We're not going to put anything in stone that's going to help us that much. So that's all. I wanted to note those points, and if people disagree with me on that, I want to note that this is not necessarily number one priority. It's not necessarily the thing we're going to do first. I think we can and probably will do some productive work and have without having this sort of thing, but I'm also...
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about this before, Holden. I don't think that this is, like, the first thing you do. But when you're running an organization and you're thinking about things in the long, medium, and short term, obviously in the short term you have to do your work and you have a responsibility to your donors, and you can't, you know, continue in the medium term without doing those things. But concurrently, just like we think about how you develop your workforce and how you build the organization, this is one of those things that you have to do and revise on an annual or triannual or whatever basis. Really a basis for the organization, not only for clarity for you to operate, but for everyone else to understand how you operate and whether you're operating in a way that is true to what they want.
So it would just really help me personally. I mean, Tom, John, and Lindy, who are all, at least so far, proponents of this plan, if you guys could just, like, Tom, you have different types of questions for us on the train, who's the market, how you know, that I think tie into this, and you know, John, you know, you're thinking of certain questions, and Lindy, you do too. If you can just send us the thing that you feel like we would need to know that you don't know, or, you know, you feel like you couldn't move forward without, that would help me in understanding where what you're getting at with this thing.
I mean, Tim, like, Greg, like, do any of you, do others have an opinion on this?
I just have a question, sorry. Holden, I mean, it sounds like your concern is that this would be very time-consuming and hold you back from things that are more pressing.
That's not my concern. But, like, this might not be time-consuming. I want to make it clear to everyone in this room, because I'm hearing language like you can't move forward until we have this. I want to make it clear I disagree with that. This is not number one on the list. It could be very high. It's something we want to do. We'll agree to do it. It's not like we're not going to walk in tomorrow and be like, we can't do anything until we do this. Or
no, it is a priority. It is not the priority.
Okay, then that I'll agree to.
I'm just curious, how time-consuming or how long do you think it would take?
I just don't. It's just hard to say because I don't. Yeah, I'm still a little vague. I'm still unclear on exactly what people are looking for, and so that's why John, Tom, and Lindy, you know, kind of sending us what their thoughts about what they're looking for specifically would help me a lot in getting a better sense of what they think we're missing.
I mean, knowing everyone's background on the phone, I'm sure that plenty of you have been involved in some sort of strategic planning discussion, and I think that, you know, a 3 or 4 hour session and or whatever, 3 or 4 hours of thinking through, here's where we are, here's where we want to be, here's what our metrics are going to be to assess if we're getting there, and here are our short-term annual objectives, I think that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, you know, I'm not talking about a 12-page business plan. Although that could come in the future.
And it has come in the past, just to be...
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm hearing things that make me think, you know, people want this and then it'll be done forever or something. As long as people agree, this is like...
So it sounds,
thing
like, it sounds like, yeah, it's yeah. On the list, and John and Timmermans are going to send us some thoughts, and we probably after that we'll schedule some time to talk with you guys and anyone on the board that's interested, and then they'll decide where to go. Maybe we'll draft it after that.
I'll sign on to that.
But to get back to your point, I think these priorities are good, and I would just add that one.
Okay.
Also from me, it's Melissa. I like, at the end of the year, how are you going to decide, oh, we did a great job this year, or like, we had a great year. How will you decide that? And I just feel like these might be good in kind of steering you in deciding and analyzing how the year went or how you guys have been doing. And how the project has been doing.
Yeah, I mean, what we did in our first year, and we would do again this year, is we have metrics by which we judge our success. They're not very, like, objective. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have, like, a number or an amount we have to get to, but the notion of, you know, we have laid out those things, and we would use it. I mean, that's part of what I'm trying to understand, you know, what people are looking for exactly.
I think objectivity is a key element to a good kind of assessment. You guys are an organization that rely on data and transparency and objective information, and I think we should just treat ourselves the same way. And I don't think it's hard if you structure it appropriately.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, that works for me. Any other comments before we move on to the budget?
Well, I would add, like, I think the what is GiveWell description, like, it, this fits into it. Like, I don't think there's, like, good good centering on what things make sense and what things don't, because I think, like, the just starting with the what is GiveWell statement is, I think it's a bad statement. That's not clear enough. That doesn't center anything around what you should do as a result of what you are. So at that level, I'm concerned there's, like, a level beneath that where I would imagine I don't really wouldn't want to get involved personally, but there is the level of what is GiveWell and how could you look at what it is to basically point to what you should and shouldn't do, where I think that it's currently very bland and very doesn't tell you anything about what you should or shouldn't do as an organization.
What do you mean what we should or shouldn't do as an organization, you mean?
Do you mean the mission, Greg?
If you go to the mission or the what is GiveWell statement on the web, it's a very it's not a very centering thing where you could say, okay, this path, like the things that we're doing are consistent or inconsistent with that message, other than the highly generic, like we're going to help the children type of way. Anyway, I can read it if you want, but the basic picture, that's where I basically agree at, like, this happens sort of at levels, like you start with clear what are you trying to do, and so and go down from there into then how are you going to measure that. And I think that just being in sync on what the organization is trying to do, so
having, like, a clear mission statement that allows you to drive down...
So that it's basically a grounding thing where you would argue back to, does this make sense given this mission? Like,
and
that where this thing is, like, you know, the GiveWell is an independent non-profit charity evaluator. We perform in-depth research, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's... to me, it is not directed enough, not clear enough. Too much could be blurred into doing anything, which I think is a mistake. I'd go into what I would say if it were me. It's not me, but I still think it would be better to have a more grounding mission that that wasn't so open-ended and therefore so, like, clearly immeasurable.
And I want you guys to realize this doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't mean you don't continue your work as it is. It's simply a question of, is this an ambitious statement? Like, can we sell this? Like, so it starts from the most mundane side of, like, can we sell it to when you want us to go into a budget approval next. And part of what I think about when I think about budget is, are you allocating sufficient budget, you know, not just allocating, but are you spending it on things like marketing or redesign? And when we're spending money on redesign, I just want to make sure that we're spending it on a message, like Greg is saying, that's clear, that's grounding, that's perhaps ambitious, that's exciting. And I think it's a question of just drilling back down. What do you want to do? Who are you? How are you going to get there? How do you measure it? And then what do we need to do in terms of our budget to make sure we're doing what we do, what we say we're going to do? And, you know, I do think that this has implications for other things. So, you know, I'm happy to volunteer to be a part of the level that Greg is saying, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to be a part of, but I think we start at where he's talking about.
So,
again, not to sidetrack the entire discussion.
Just the mission statement.
But I think that the important thing is, like, my mission is not that important, but meaning that I think it's a function of the board and Holden and Ellie, like, what the mission is. So I could tell you what I would do if I were describing the mission, but I think the important thing is that we get to some mission that's not as bland as that is, in my opinion, and that's, like, my language would be, like, somewhat more confrontational, but others would probably word it differently, but I could imagine, I could show you what I would do, but the more important thing is that it's a grounding document that for which you can say, okay, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, given what we're doing.
And before you start paying for someone to redesign your website, it's good to have that in place. I don't know any branding consultant that would do this without us having, like, a set mission that everyone agrees is good, for example. Or at least without verbalizing it in a way that everyone
you
agrees
can
is good.
That what is, if well, thing is good, or do you just think it doesn't matter?
I'm not, I think that, I guess my answer would be it doesn't matter given the way you're asking me that question. I mean, I think it's, I think what people want to know when they go to that page, they want to know, like, is this, like, what is this website? What am I looking at? What am I going to find here? And I think it answers that question well enough for them to click on, and that's what it's intended for. So if you're looking for something that kind of forcefully, you know, it sounds like you're, I mean, my instinctive reaction to this, and we don't have to get into this, and we don't have to argue with me, but my instinctive reaction is that you guys want a paragraph to do a ton of work, and I've heard horror stories about the amount of work that can go into a paragraph or a sentence or a slogan or a mission statement, and I'm not sure, I don't see enough of a practical, concrete connection to how that's going to affect other things that we literally do and things that result. For me to be very excited about this, but I'm also, like, hearing from people who have a voice in this organization for a reason and people who I respect that this is important, so what I want to do is take this offline, basically. I've told you what I think, and I don't think that there's much more productive to discuss. Like, what I'm doing is agreeing to work on it.
So can we just agree that we are happy with your progress and priorities? We'd like to add this as one, and we're going to take it offline?
That's what I would want.
I'm fine with that.
And maybe, you know, just in the coming weeks, we can exchange some emails about this and maybe do a call in a couple weeks, conference call, to talk about the issues.
So has somebody on the board actually assessed, like, I believe this statement, I just that we're happy with the progress?
No, that's a statement from staff. That is not and that's not something we're voting on. That's me giving you guys a report on what I think.
Yeah, no, I know. I was asking Wendy, though, from her perspective.
I mean, I think I said it sort of at the beginning. Like, I think these guys are doing a good job in meeting deadlines that they have in the short term. This is, you know, I'm not comfortable with hiring a marketing person to help us market ourselves without a mission statement that we're all comfortable with or some sort of strategic direction. I'm not happy with assessing ourselves without objective metrics, you know. So I think, yes, I'm very happy with the progress. I think these guys are working very hard and doing good work and producing. I think that there is a missing element, and this is why I'm trying to introduce this as a priority.
One of the things that like, I feel is missing Bob Elliott, to me, matters was Bob's ability to probe you guys on, like, quality and quantity of research, which I don't, are you getting that from others on the board? And
I think we're getting more of that than we did before. You know, I think still not nearly as much as we want, but we're putting a more active effort into getting feedback, and that's one of the items on our list. And B, we have, like, we've definitely gotten more immediate reactions, you know, challenges, discussions around the research we published than any research we published before.
So, and who, like, I would like to know for this, like, who is good, like, who would be the good, to me, I would like to get an assessment from people that we sort of mutually agree on are the assessors of the quality and quantity of research given the time period or something like that. I don't know exactly how I would do it, but I would like to get a, you know, some particular door external or whatever, some view of, yeah, this is good research and it's happening at the rate that you would expect. You know, I can make my own very, very loose assessment, but without, like, looking at the whole thing, it's a little bit hard to say. So I don't know if we can get to that or just we can postpone that for some other time. But I think it would be good if we said these are the people that are our...
We have kind of an informal list of people who do that in different capacities. You know, I wish we had more, so I'm not going to say I'm thrilled with, like, the capability of the people we know to do that and who we can rely on to actually do that work. But
I think that's part of what I was going to do initially, but because, you know, there are so many, you guys are inexperienced in a lot of the management side of things, and our discussions turn more towards, you know, guidance in that area than the research. But the, you know, as you become better at that, the research is something that I can help with too. It's just our conversations haven't been around that. But Greg, to answer your question, I also read all of the emails. Like, I think Bob was doing this. I go through all of the exchanges, like all of the listserv emails. I sort of monitor what people are saying and how Ellie or Holden respond in terms of, well, this is why we've done this. And so I do, I review the details of it just to make sure that things are, like, appropriate discussions and whatever.
Yeah, I think we have a decent group of people that are not formalized checking whether the research is any good and whether it, you know, are just crap or something. What I don't think we have, and I'm not sure what to do, is the, like, this is how much time we spent and this is how much progress we made in putting that whole thing together to evaluate the organization's quality, you know, as opposed to just the research goodness.
Yeah, and so then and my two questions, so I would take either at this point, like, if are we on some absolute scale, like, that means that somebody relevant is saying you are adding to the discussion of charities in a meaningful way.
Right.
That somebody relevant other than you guys think that.
Right.
That would be, there's that part of it. There's also the part that you're describing, which would require more internal knowledge of, well, what else are you doing and that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
So, Greg, your question is perfect. Like, the question you just asked, like, are we adding to this in any meaningful way? I mean, I think there need to be metrics around that you can answer objectively at the end of the day. And whether that's we have three people that we trust and they all say yes might be the answer, but that's a question that I don't think Givewell has a good handle on.
Well, it's something that we're working on. It's something that appears elsewhere on the list. I mean, I can tell you the state right now. You know, as far as people who are, like, internal to Givewell, who kind of, you know, have this role, I mean, I think John, when we were talking about adding him to the board, we were saying this is kind of where he's going to specialize, and he did, you know, start up a little conversation on our email list challenging some of our conclusions. And then Phil also responds and discusses a lot of what we do, although it's sometimes unclear exactly how much he's reading, but, you know, he certainly gives feedback on some of our conclusions and gets into that. That's internal. External, I've got to say, like, we've had trouble because it seems to me like when we go to people who we expect to be more of a, you know, give more of an expert opinion, it seems like we're mostly either getting, like, you know, I'm too busy, I can't engage with this, or someone will engage with it, but they'll just kind of be like, good job, guys. And I can tell you some of the people who've done that. And so, you know, it's something we're struggling with, and that's actually pretty high on our list right now, is we've got a bunch of people who we've spoken to in the middle of the report and gotten feedback from. We want to go back to them now and say, read the whole thing, write up your comments formally, be really critical, and see where we can get with that, because we've got, you know, we've got some people now who are external who even some people might be impressed by saying, good job, guys, but I don't feel they're being, like, critical enough that I'm particularly, you know, into what they're saying.
Yeah, so, okay, so I mean, I think this art makes more clear some of the points that they were made before. Like, is that
right.
A disappointment and a failure? Like, is that something that we consider, like, is this part of core mission, that it
right.
actually does have to affect people, the research or not? And if so, like, therefore, is that something that we're looking at saying?
Well, there's different, I mean, this breaks into a bunch of different categories. I mean, there's like, you know, do people Greg trusts, what do they think of the research? Do people who are kind of credentialed, what do they think of the research? And then there's like, is this research affecting the way people give, or is this research getting into the public eye? I mean, those are all very different questions, so.
Right.
Like, I think on the third question, I think we have, like, much more affirmative results. I think the second question is where we're weakest right now.
I lost track of which question was which,
okay.
But I don't
think that in terms of, like, that. Affecting how people give, or that it's just out there in the
or affecting the conversation.
Right, like, when people just, I mean, there's not a ton of discussion about where to give, but in terms of being out there, when people say, oh, where should I give the charity, or, like, Peterson, or, well, you know, like, we have those types of things, where
right.
in the discussion, what's much harder for us to get is either, like, people that we can all agree are, like, really smart and critical, and they're going to say this is good, or, like, people who have the, you know,
credentials.
We talk to people with credentials. We put them on our website, but they either wouldn't talk to us or just sort of gave us the thumbs up, and we're not convinced that was a well thought or
right.
deeply thought thumbs up.
So those
aside
are all.
Aside from asking them, has this affected your giving? You really can't isolate the variables, so I don't think you can answer that question.
Well, I think we can just get people to write something that gives more of a sense that they're really being critical as opposed to just a thumbs up. Like that, we find
yeah,
a lot
I'm talking about the donor, like, is this changing
oh, right.
the way people give? You can't answer that question.
No, but we can, I don't think
that's
fair. I mean, we can see people giving to our website, and then we, you know, so that's, like, just money. But then
you don't know if that's because of the report.
Well,
it's through the, I mean, I think it's, I think
it's pretty unlikely. I mean, anyhow, but there's just that, and so we can argue about whether that's a correct, you know, conclusion to draw. But then, you know, we know that, you know, with Peter Singer's book, that he goes around and people say to him, like, hey, where should I give $2,000? I need to know what to do. And he says, oh, GiveWell. You should go check out GiveWell, see what they're doing, give there. Or people say, you know, we've had, you know, they're pretty rare, but people say, where should I give the charity? And then someone else, not us, you know, post, hey, check out GiveWell.net. That's an interesting site. It has good recommendations.
Just stepping back for a minute from this, like, I think what we're kind of talking about right now is metrics, which is the part of the last discussion that I've, like, most resonated with. You know, I think that we could definitely, I immediately see that we can do a better job formalizing our metrics. It's been something we've been meaning to do for a while. We've taken different stabs at it at different points in time. And so one thing I can say is that, you know, in these different measures, we could do the work of laying out, you know, why we think we're doing kind of, for example, mediocre on the, you know, reviews from credentialed critical people and pretty well on the, you know, entering the conversation, influencing the giving. I could lay that case out. I don't think we need to argue in the board meeting about whether you can attribute donations through Network for Good, through GiveWell, to GiveWell. I think you can, but that's a whole thing we could argue about separately. But that, I mean, that's something I'll say, you know, I think we can provide information that's relevant to this. It's not like we have some statistic that, you know, some, like, absolute number that we can give you, but we have relevant information. We can support a case that we've done well or poorly. We were planning on doing that in the annual review. As far as formalizing the metric, so it's the same metric every year, that's something that's, like, not as immediately appealing to me, but still appealing, and I still see the value in it. I think we can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the section of the... I didn't get to it till John just handed it to me, but the section in on progress, both in the assigned reading and in here,
yeah,
to me is too little to, like, I think you should have made that more meaty in terms of this, like, not necessarily, like, what has occurred.
Right.
It was pretty narrow.
But
and so maybe it's because you're summarizing, you think everybody's on top of it in a way that I'm not, which is very
possible. No, that's not it. I just want to remind you where this conversation started, which is that we intend to do, you know, a write-up of how we think we've done and why, and this is not that. This is, you know, a couple weeks after we finished the report, we were mostly doing other stuff. This is like an update, an informal update on where we are, and as far as providing, you know, this is how we think we did, and this is why we think we did that well. That's something that takes work, and that's not something that we did, but that's on our list to do.
So that's fine with me.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think we've sort of beaten this to a pulp a little bit, unless other people have questions, that we could go to the budget stuff, because it'll reflect some of this.
I have one completely unrelated comment about the progress and priority document.
Mm-hmm.
The economic empowerment grant,
mm-hmm.
I've got concerns the plan there is a really horrible conflict of interest.
Mm. How
yeah.
so?
That doesn't sound
good. If you don't find anyone you like, you get to keep the money?
No. That's not what we're doing.
I know that's not what you're doing, but that's what that plan says.
Hang on.
No, I thought the plan said if you don't find someone, because it's hard to find, it will be divided between the two organizations.
That's a different document. We're talking about the economic...
We just say if we're unable to identify an outstanding charity, we'll use the $250,000 to fund
for
the
research
and evaluation.
For the research not carried out by us. That money's going out. It's going out of our bank account this year, no matter what.
Okay. So that just needs to be clarified then.
Okay.
It's what
All
that sounds
right.
like. Is it...
Yep.
$250,000 is being spent by GiveWell on
no.
GiveWell's research.
No, that's not what.
First, I get to put my son to bed, so I'll be gone for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
This also happens in every recording meeting. Audio.
can we move to the budget section, or do
yeah.
you guys want?
On record, I am excited to move to the budget section.
You don't even have kids.
So this is the budget. I'm not sure how much of an intro I want to give. It was in the required reading. I'd mostly throw it to questions. The non-required reading had notes on the discrepancies. So if anyone wants to talk about a particular one, you know, basically, I'm presenting the final expenses, not totally final, because we have to get them audited, but this is pretty much what they're going to be for 2008. Expenses for 2009, you know, are not getting audited that soon, but that's what they are. You know, we've basically been under our projected expenses, and then we do this future projection, and then we get to something which is a little tougher and which we updated you on recently. which is this idea that, you know, we do have, for to put it one way, we do have more money than we would need to get through the next 12 months, even at the most conservative projection and even with zero revenue, and even counting only unrestricted assets. And so there's a point at which you ask, should we stop holding on to money and start granting it out? And that's something that we've discussed a lot, we've gone back and forth on a lot. I don't think we can get, like, we need to write a formal policy for this, and we've gone through several drafts, and we ended up just saying we're not ready to do this yet. What we're ready to do now is just take a pretty conservative approach and say, we can give out at least $15,000, we should give out at least $15,000, so let's approve that at this board meeting, and at the next board meeting we may have a formal policy that recommends giving out more than that.
Can it be defined as a percentage as opposed to an amount?
Well, I defined how I came up with that number. That's a dollar number that I want the board to approve because that's the number we're going to put on the check. This is not a proposed policy, and that's my point, is that we don't yet have a policy. I'm like, the proposal right now is $15,000 right now, and it says how I came to that calculation.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have a proposal in the future that would be more likely to refer to things like percents.
Will that policy be developed alongside these other policies, or do you see a different time frame?
I mean, I want to get it by the next board meeting. I don't know if that... It's not something we need for the audit, so in that sense, it's a different time frame. It's more something we need for the next board meeting, I'd say. So, thoughts on the past budget, future budget, and proposal to add $15,000 of unrestricted... to the restricted grants we're giving out.
So can you, the restricted for re-granting number that you have on here?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
That comes from people who donated and said specifically, I don't want you using this for operating, I want you to re-grant this.
And it includes the big $250,000.
Right. Which, that is not going out until we designate the economic empowerment, but the rest of it is, we think the rest of it should go out now to the best charities we've done. And this bleeds into the final attachment. You know, the attachment, I don't know, I think it was G or H, which is saying which charities we want to give it to. So we can get to that next, but just, you know, the idea is we're taking the restricted money, which is never really relevant to our operating anyway. It's money people gave us so that we would give it back out. We're taking that. We're adding about 15 grand. That's not exact. I have the exact number in there of unrestricted money. And there's also money in our donor advised fund, but we'll get to that in the next attachment. And then that's money that we want to give out, you know, essentially soon, like within 3 weeks, to the top charities.
So this $15,000 is purely because you don't want to sit on money.
Yes. And the rationale, the like broad rationale, is in blue in that budget update, or at least in the latest version I sent out. It might not be in the. I mean, I can tell you the broad rationale is that we want to continually earn our existence. We don't want to excessively hold reserves that can reasonably be given out to accomplish concrete good. Obviously, there's also reasons we don't want to give out too much. So right now, I think 15 grand is, or the exact number I put is playing pretty conservative, and that's what we want to do because we're not sure exactly what the policy should be yet.
I think it's also a bit of putting your money where your mouth is, which I think is important.
Good.
So are we voting on this, or?
Sure. I mean, if no one has any objections to any of this, then I would propose that we approve the past budget as a formality, both past budgets, and approve the outline of how future expenses will be given, and approve the, I should pull up the exact number, of unrestricted that we should be planning and granting. So that's an attachment H, actually.
And all of that.
I mean, we want that approved in case we want to do that, and you know, it's not, we wouldn't necessarily do that. We're putting these projections are like money we'd like.
So just what's our policy? Because we don't have the right to write a $5,000 check that needs chairman and treasurer approval, right?
Right. So they'll sign it.
And so this approval is not like giving us the power to never write that check.
No.
It's an allocation of funds.
I am not authorized to write any check over $5,000, and I'm not asking for approval for that. This is I want the board to sign off on these grants, and then the checks will be written by the chairman and treasurer.
You know what, Holden? The only thing that I objected to, or I don't object to it, but I just, the projected expenses around website, or, you know, development. I just don't want a lot of that 10,000 to go in before there's, like, a clearer sense of what we've talked about before, the mission and the metrics and all of that.
Okay. Well, how much... I personally think we should be, you know, dipping a toe in, testing developers, trying some stuff.
Yes. No, I agree with that, but I'm talking about, you know,
right.
I don't know what the number is. I don't want to spend a chunk until we have things clear and we can post our metrics and we can put this stuff in a way that's structured to take people through logically where we are going.
Okay. Then I would propose something like, you know, Board approves this budget, but we would need further board approval to spend more than, let's say, $2,000 on the website. That's what I was.
Yeah, and also like a new domain name. Like, we're not going to do that until we've all talked about it. You know?
Oh, agree with that. So we could also put further board approval would be required for that as well.
And this developing world trip, I haven't heard sort of what's going on with that. $5,000 allocated to that. Was that decided a while ago?
That's not, you know, again, that's a possible expense where we still have to figure out where that would be in the priority list.
Okay. I'd want that to be discussed before it was done. So
okay.
I think the budget makes sense. It's just that I think some of the expenditures shouldn't happen until other things have happened.
Right. And the way I would operationalize that is I would say, I mean, I would also say the same about, like, a new hire. At least we wouldn't want to make another new hire without Lindy's approval, but we put it in the projection, and maybe without board approval, too. I don't know, because, you know, it's a pretty big expense.
It also depends where you're going.
Right. So.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, I would say it would make sense to kind of all affirm that this is a reasonable projection, but that we aren't going to be able to, you know, purchase a new domain name for more than $1,000. We won't be able to spend more than $2,000 on a website, and won't be able to spend anything on a developing world trip without, you know, another board approval.
Yeah.
That would be my
point. I'm comfortable with contextualizing it that way.
Okay. Other thoughts on that, or can we vote on what I just said?
I've got some concerns about the timing of dispersing the money to charities. You're saying within 3 weeks. Is there something magical about that? Because I think there's still questions that need to be answered. You know, we've talked about this a bit on the research mailing list, but particularly about Village Reach. I think there's open questions that I don't think will be that hard to answer, but I don't see any reason to cut a check before we do some more due diligence.
I mean, my response to that, and we can vote on this because I don't think it's going to be much worth arguing about, but, you know, I think from the beginning of GiveWell, there's always been a danger, I think, of kind of, you know, saying more information is needed, more due diligence is needed, and letting that stretch on indefinitely. And so I think the way that it's good for us to operate is that we set a deadline for ourselves. The research has to be done by that deadline. We go with the best charity we found by that deadline. We give them money, and then we give out more the next year. That's the basic idea. And the basic idea is that now the report's done, and we have a board meeting. 3 weeks basically means now. It means that we don't know everything, but we're going with what we think. And, I mean, there's just always going to be more due diligence. We gave out money last year that, you know, if we had held on to it, would have gone to different charities.
Are there critical questions that you're concerned about, John?
So what I'm most concerned about with respect to Village Reach is, I think the evidence that the pilot program was highly effective is very compelling. But I don't feel like we have enough of a handle on the project that we'd actually be funding. And understanding any potential deviations from the, you know, the procedures that were used in the pilot program, even as much as just like figuring out like the total expenditures. From what I could read, it sounded like the expanded program was going to cost the same amount as the pilot actually did cost, although, you know, spent over slightly shorter time frame. But like that's the kind of thing that just doesn't make any sense to me.
But the pilot, didn't that include a lot of tracking, like research costs? Holden, do you remember?
Holden would know this better.
Yeah, it did.
Which the scaling up wouldn't include.
No, I mean, it's going to, they plan to continue researching. I mean, the thing that John is right about, that we don't, you know, we don't have details on their future, like we don't have the future business plan and their future, you know, specifics on their future budgets and exactly what they're doing. I have confidence in Village Reach because they're an organization that has successfully implemented something in the past. They're planning to do that again in the future. And they were careful in the way that they documented and monitored what they did to the point where, I feel good about giving money to that organization.
And we believe they'll be just as accountable in the future and that we're going to get the same information about future projects that we got about the last one, which is, many charities have kind of one project that's well documented, but many that aren't. So we don't think that's the case with Village Reach. I don't think we should get into a research argument here at the meeting. I think we should have some plan to take this offline so different plans could be... I would basically say to you, John, I would say, if there's something you think we can realistically get from Village Reach within, let's say, like 6 weeks or something, we could make it conditional on that. But stretching much beyond that, we would either have to decide that we're only ready to give all the money to Stop TB or that we're just going to, go with what we know and split it like we say.
So, for instance, have you asked the question of, what are the major differences in how the pilot program will be run and the expanded program? Have we even asked that, simple question?
We have, basic documentation on that, but not, I don't think we know enough.
It's not something we've evaluated. I mean, something we haven't evaluated a lot in general is, the future plans of organizations, because we found, the things that we get are not, what we'd rather see is sort of competence and excellence at completing past projects as an indication of, future activity and results. And that's the attitude I have about Village Reach. One thing that we found with Stop TB and Village Reach, which are top two organizations, is that, I think they are asking questions that we're not thinking of. And they're, they know more about what they're doing than we do. I mean, I'm not an, we don't know anything about the logistics of, and everything that they say and answer to us is reasonable. It makes a lot of sense. They are not, avoiding the questions we're asking. Personally, I feel like I can evaluate Village Reach's past successes. We could do a check of, whether they're behaving competently towards their future projects, but...
To put it quicker, a lot of... I think we can and should get more information about their future plans, but the basic bet here is that they've their first project was very accountable, very well documented, and seems to have gone well. We believe their second project is going to be equally accountable, equally well documented, and we'll see how it goes. And we feel that's a reasonable investment to make. That's something that you don't find generally in other charities, and that's something that it took us all this time to find the charities that you can even say that much about. So it's not perfect, but actually, I want to step back a second because this is technically the next item on the agenda. I would like to get sign off on the budget. So in terms of what we spent, what we might spend, and the amount that's going to top charities, and then we will come back to who it's going to, what those top charities are.
So, hold on. I vote yes, given the parameters you talked earlier about.
All right. Let me just repeat those. I'm basically saying that, we're kind of approving the budget in concept, saying the expenses look reasonable, but that in order to go on a developing world trip or spend more than $1,000 on domain names or spend more than $2,000 on website development, those would require further board approval. And that would mean, if you were going to make that conditional on having a clearer sense of where we stand as an organization, that would be included in, you get approved it again, so under whatever terms you think are reasonable. That's the proposal. Lindy, I understand you're voting yes. I'm voting yes on that.
I vote yes.
Ari is voting yes.
Tom votes yes.
Tim back.
Tim might still be putting his kid to bed, but we have a majority, so I think we'll move on. And back to Village Reach.
So first, maybe we should do what you said, which is to approve the amount. Did we just approve the amounts that are being granted?
Yes, we did in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we are, we're on attachment
G. Well, H is the updated one.
Yeah, but G is the one that explains who we're giving it to. H just has the amounts. And then there is an update, too, which John is also getting at, which is that we did want to put a thing in there that says, we can make these grants conditional on charities meeting further disclosure requirements as long as all the money is given to some combination of the two soon. So in other words, we could do something like saying, Village Reach, we need this info from you. If we don't get it, then all the money would go to Stop TB. But what we're not going to do is withhold the money, keep it in our account because we're not getting the info.
I think that I'm not sure that's the best idea.
I mean, I think you guys have done a lot of research. I think Village Reach is a very thorough organization that does, you know, clear monitoring and has a good pilot project, and if we trust what they've done, that they will carry that through, is a good organization to donate to. And I wouldn't want to be hasty and say, oh, if I don't get this due diligence in X amount of time, I'm not giving to you. I don't think that's appropriate.
Well, my idea, just to be clear, my idea was less about due diligence, which John is talking about. I have something different in mind, which is I want them to agree to give us monthly updates on their revenue because they are a smaller organization. And they have a smaller funding gap, and so at the level we see them, we're comfortable recommending them. But if a lot of big donations start coming through for them, whether because of us or otherwise, we would want to update our website. And I think that one of the good services we can provide is having a sense of how much money is useful to an organization, and beyond that, withdrawing the recommendation, not because we don't like them, but, you know, because we believe in putting the money where it's going to do the most good. So.
Right, but just be careful that you don't put an onus on the organization that inhibits them from getting this kind of money. Like, doing a monthly update just to satisfy your needs or whatever, I don't think is necessarily appropriate.
Well, I think a monthly update on revenue is reasonable. I mean, you're supposed to do...
They don't post that already, or...?
I mean, no, I don't know any organization that posts monthly financials, but generally they close books monthly, or at least do the books monthly.
Right.
So the information should be available. And in Stop TV's case, I was thinking they sent us a lot of stuff that's for our eyes only. We've been thinking about possibly asking for clearance of some of it publicly, not asking them to give us new information. But we're leaning against that because we don't really think that money would make a difference to them on that front. I think that their confidentiality requirements are the way they are, and whatever we're able to work out with them will be independent of any like incentive. But,
so is the monthly revenue the only thing that you would want?
That's the only thing I have in mind, and I put it a little looser in the document that we want, you know, we want the ability to put conditions on them as long as we're giving out all the money to some combination of the two.
And John, are you comfortable with that?
So beyond the revenue, I mean, I would explore the path of getting access to the internal, sort of real-time evaluation of the project that they're presumably doing. I don't know if that's a non-starter, but if we could get that, I'd feel very satisfied.
I mean, what's our referral like with these guys? Can we just, I mean, you guys talking to them regularly? They know you guys,
They know we're coming. They'll talk to us.
Yeah, they like us. I mean, they're also a small organization. I mean, I think that they really stand out, and on the once we start asking for other types of access, I worry about putting a burden on them that's unreasonable.
Yeah, I think monthly revenue is reasonable, but I agree with that.
I mean, I think it's worth asking them, you know, for the plan and the budget. But the reason I don't feel strongly about it is that it wouldn't change my view that much, you know, unless they'd have to enter something crazy to change my view. I think it's possible that. I mean, we have open questions about Village Reach. Like, I think it's possible that they're not up and running with a second project right now. You know, we're not entirely sure of where they stand. But you know, they've done something great. They're currently, you know, running this like second iteration of that pilot project in another location because they've been evaluated, and they're trying to get into other places.
So you're trying to enable that.
And we're trying to meet. They've told us the amount of money they need. We think it's worth to fund that gap. But not further. That's why we want to get the revenues. And
how much is that altogether, sir?
It's like about $500,000.
It's our target for the next year.
And that's
the story. So I'm more comfortable with, you know, you guys have done the research. If you're saying the data points in the direction that they're going to use the money in a way that is in line with what GiveWell, you know, would fund, and they're willing to give us some of the information that we need to make to monitor that over time, I actually think that's sort of a limit. It can't be so conditional that it puts an onus on them. That's my only concern.
Right, I just think you should have that conversation. It could be a matter of just being forwarded. Internal reports are already being made. Presumably, we want to look at the same information that they want to be looking at.
Yeah, so it can
we be specific
like,
in the grant? Yeah, sorry.
I would personally not. I think we should and will, you know, hold them accountable for their future project and ask for access to their internal reports. And if things go downhill, we won't recommend them again next year. But I wouldn't make this grant conditional on that. I think with the information, I wouldn't make that.
If the grant's conditional on anything, personally, I think it's for what they like to based on the research, et cetera, and that we any future recommendation is based on what they do in the future. But this is based on the research. And I think we don't want them spending time on us.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so my view is, and I thought one of the sort of premises from the beginning was that we were going to operate that way.
I agree with that. I think if we give them the money
and they're not willing to, like, I think they'll engage us, and if they're not willing to, we learn something about them, and that becomes relevant. But I would ask them, if you want the revenue stuff, I would just separate those two things. Give them the money, and if they don't give us the revenue for some unreasonable reason, that would be a totally different thing about whether we continually recommend them, in my opinion. And
this is something where our earlier conversation about what GiveWell is really all about, I think, would affect it, because if GiveWell is really all about transparency and making educated decisions, then I think it would be antithetical for us to ask for information that is not publicly available to other donors and that we can't publish.
Well, would we want to publish how the revenue is going, the status of funding yet?
And so I can see, for both of them, having caveats that have to do with advancing the goal of transparency. But as Greg is saying, not making our future recommendations conditional on that, not our present recommendations. Judge it for the merits of where they are, and in the future say, this is what we'd like to see from you in the future, and we'll be judging you based on an increased transparency in the future of things that donors should need to know. And I think we should say the exact same thing to the Stop TV partnership, to respect the fact that they've not disclosed some certain things, but say, in the future, one of the things that we'll be looking for is for you to be more transparent, making this information available to all donors, because that's the kind of information that should be available to donors.
Also, if the objective of GiveWell is to find good things and help them scale up, you have to trust that you've done your research, this thing is good, and it's scalable, and if it proves to not be scalable, you don't continue to fund it.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with that. It's not a big thing for me. I think our recommendation is leverage in itself, so if people don't think we should be using the money as additional leverage and we should just give it out based on what we know, I'm totally fine with that.
That's my view of it. I would be no strings attached funding of the charities that we find to meet the characteristics, in my view.
I think using it as additional leverage, Holden, is the beginning of the slippery slope that so many funders end on, which is part of the reason why the sector is such a mess.
And it becomes very time-consuming for you as well.
Okay. Well, as I said, I'm happy to... I would be happy to approve just giving the money. And we still have questions about them, so we will continue to ask those. We can continue to track these guys, but we're going to give out the money soon.
I think continuing to track them is sort of the key. I think Tim really nailed it.
Okay, and just so people, just to remind people, continuing to track them is another one of those items, so that's in our priorities. So just, we have a little bit of a crowded priority list, but every item on it pretty much. Most of them have, come up specifically in this meeting.
And that's definitely what Liz and Natalie are doing, right?
Sort of.
The tracking, follow-up.
I mean, that's kind of the idea long-term.
Yeah, okay. So what do you need from us, an approval to disperse in this way?
Basically, take the amount that was, specified in the update I sent this morning, split that between Village Reach and Stop TV, and also... This is a totally separate thing in terms of financials, but we, to recommend grants of, half of the approximately $25,000 to each of those two charities from our donor advised fund. That would be a grant recommendation, not technically a dispersal. But.
So do we need to vote on that?
Yeah.
John, any last thoughts on this?
As I mentioned earlier, I sympathize with people not wanting to place a burden on these charities. I do think we should have the conversation about what we can get for free.
Okay.
I just don't see any reason not to have that.
Well, we will, and that's on our, you know, that's one of our priorities. That's on the big list. Okay, so we're going to vote on this? I vote yes, to basically, you know, conceptually split that money between the two charities, both the grants we're going to make, and then there's a grant recommendation we're going to make.
Tom votes yes.
Greg votes yes.
Tim votes yes.
Ari yes.
Linda yes.
I guess that's it, and it's 2 hours, so.
I didn't jinx you, see?
So anything else from anyone, or do we want to adjourn?
No, I'll kick off the mission statement email exchange and hopefully call in a couple of weeks.
I thought you were going to kick it off now.
No,
thank you. Can we just talk really quickly about, like, the next board meeting? I mean, are people, Holden, do you guys want to just schedule it as you need it, or can we schedule it a little bit more in advance?
We can try to schedule in advance. To be honest, we've had bad experiences in the past with that. People have kind of chaotic schedules. You can schedule something 4 months in advance, and then someone's schedule will change. We have to redo it. I mean, the reason we've had that hectic is not because we've been too far. It's not because we've been too close to the deadline before. It's just that things have come up. So I personally am not in favor of trying to do that, but we could. I just think.
Okay. No, I didn't know why it wasn't done before, but I understand. The board has changed though, so I mean, it might be different.
Well, we still got the albatross.
Pardon?
I move that we use the word albatross and provide animal nicknames for all board members from here on out.
I vote yes. I want to be the lion.
Ari is the lion.
All right, I think it might be time. Tell me, you want to adjourn this meeting?
Yeah, I adjourn it? I move that we adjourn it.
No, you're the chairman.
This meeting is hereby adjourned.